Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Matthew chapter number 17, Matthew chapter number 17, and we're going to begin looking at the doctrine of prayer tonight. Matthew chapter number 17. And we're going to look at some things out of here. Some of the things that I'm going to say tonight, if you've been here a while, they're going to be familiar to you. To our newer people, it won't be, but I want to look at this again tonight. And really, about once a year, we really ought to look at this and just refresh our mind and our memory on it. Matthew chapter number 17, I'll not get nowhere close to being done with prayer tonight. I'm actually just going to look at one part of it, and that's the part of fasting and praying tonight, and see what we can learn here out of Matthew 17 tonight. And we're going to flip a couple other places before it's all said and done. Matter of fact, let's just do this. While you got your place in 17, put your finger right there and flip back to chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 also. And I'll read you a few verses. Matthew chapter number 6 and Matthew chapter number 17. In Matthew chapter number 17, let me just give you a little bit of history of what's going on here. Matthew chapter number 17 is the story of the transfiguration of Christ. And man, that's a great story to read. I love to read that, how that great metamorphosis took place that day and Jesus was transformed into His glory that night, amen. And I would have loved to have been there. And a lot of times we talk about those three disciples that went to sleep while Jesus was transformed into His glory. And I want to say this to you before you criticize them too much. You might want to inventory our own lives, because there's also been times in our life when Jesus was trying to move and work that, in all honesty, we was asleep and not listening to what He was saying to us. But here in Matthew chapter number 17, the transfiguration takes place. And then in verse number 14, whenever you read in verse 14, 15, and 16, the disciples was unable to bring a cure. In verse number 17, the Bible says this, "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? The disciples had tried to cast a demon out, an evil spirit out of this child. And they wasn't able to, and Jesus did. And they said, why was we not able to? Verse number 20, Jesus answers them and says this, And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, boy, I love that verse right there, don't you? And we hear a lot of people, they talk about having the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. I believe what he's saying right there, amen? And if we have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. God never puts nothing in His Word without giving you a way to obtain what He's saying. Now, let's look in verse number 21. He tells us how we can have that kind of faith. Howbeit, He says in verse number 1, this kind. What kind? The kind of faith that He's just referred to in verse number 20. The kind of faith that can move mountains. The faith of a mustard seed. He said, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Not just praying, but by prayer and fasting. Now, you got your finger right there in chapter number 6. The Bible says this in verse number 16. chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when. Now, if you're writing your Bible, I would invite you to underline that word when. I'm going to come back to it. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, you remember I told you to underline a word right there, the word when. Now, here's what I want you to do. If you're writing your Bible, I want you to go above that word when, and I want you to write this, not if. Not if. He didn't say this, moreover, if ye fast. He said, moreover, when ye fast. Fasting is not an option if we're going to have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed that's going to move a mountain. Faith is not an option. Faith is something that we must do to exercise and to experience the kind of faith that God is speaking of in chapter number 17. Some has asked this question, does that mean that it is a direct commandment from God to fast? I don't know that it's necessarily a direct commandment, but God is saying this when he uses Matthew to pin this down. I just assume that you're going to do that. I just assume that you're going to do that. I thought about fasting today, and let me read you a definition of fasting. Here's what it means. Abstaining from fleshly desires to become close to God. A voluntary withdrawing from food or drink or other fleshly appetite for a specific period of time. It's self-denial. Now, some of that definition comes from an 1828, and some of it comes from different books that I've read in men's definition of fasting. I like that first one, abstaining from fleshly desires to become close to God. Andrew Murray wrote the classic collection of books on prayer, including this book, which is called With Christ in the School of Prayer. Here's a statement that comes out of that book. Fasting helps express, deepen, confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God. In other words, he's saying this, we are willing to put our fleshly desires to the side to obtain what God would have for us to obtain. My dad has made this, which is my pastor for 41 years, has made this statement numerous times. If you want to see God do things in your life, fast and pray. I was reading, here's what Hudson Taylor, who spent 51 years as a missionary in China, in addition to direct mission work and aiding to translate the New Testament into one of the Chinese dialects, he founded China Inland Missions, directly responsible for sending 800 missionaries, starting 300 Christian schools, and leading 18,000 Chinese people to Christ. Here's what Hudson Taylor said about fasting. He said, fasting is really a divinely appointed means of grace. Perhaps the greatest hindrance to our work is our own imagined strength. And in fasting, we learn what poor, weak creatures we are, dependent on a meal of meat for the little strength which we are so apt to lean upon. You know what he's saying? He's saying we have become so apt to leaning upon our flesh to take care of things. And I like what he says. Fasting is really a divine appointed means of grace. Perhaps the greatest hindrance to our work is our own imagined strength. You know, a lot of times we think that we can take care of things within our own self. And you know what? If you want to take care of things your own self, God will let you. But you know what's going to happen? You're probably going to make a great big mess when you try to do it on your own. Somebody give me an amen right there. Whenever it comes to spiritual things in our life, I'm going to tell you something, church. It is so important that we learn to fast and pray about those spiritual things. When it comes to spiritual decisions in our life, it's so important that we learn to fast and pray about those decisions in our life. Fasting is something that you should take part in numerous times every month in your life. Now, I'm going to say more about it as I go into this, but fasting is not just simply withdrawing from food. It can be a host of different things. Let's look at a few things about different types of fasting tonight. Number one, I would look at this. There is a simple fast. Jesus began his earthly ministry with prayer and fasting in Matthew chapter number 4 and Luke chapter number 4. If Jesus thought enough about the ministry to fast and pray about it, then shouldn't you and I think enough about the ministry to fast and pray about it? Simple fast is no food, only liquids like waters, juices, etc. It can last for several different lengths of time. There's a one-day fast in Judges chapter number 20, verse number 26. There's a three-day fast in Acts chapter number 9 that Paul did right after he gets saved. There's a 10-day fast in Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 2, or verse number 12. There's a 14-day fast in Acts 27, 33. There's a 21-day fast in Daniel chapter number 10. But then there is also a 40-day fast that we see in the Word of God. Matter of fact, one of those 40-day fasts is the very first time that fasting is ever made mention in the Word of God. That's in the book of Exodus, chapter number 34, when Moses fasts for 40 days. Matter of fact, that was what is known as an absolute fast. Moses didn't eat nothing and Moses didn't drink nothing for 40 days on the mount with God praying. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. I want to go back to the very first thing I said, the one-day fast in Judges chapter number 20. And one writer says that I love studying about fasting and praying because I promise you, if you want to see things happen in your life, if you want to see God do things in our church, if you want to see your life transformed by the power of God, you learn to fast and pray. And I promise you, God will do things in your life. Now, let me say this to you. A lot of writers says to start with a one-day fast. But I want to back it up even before that. Let me tell you, a good place to start is with a one-meal fast. With a one-meal fast. There's no way I can go without food for one meal. You can. You can. I promise you, you can. You say, well, I'm a diabetic. Well, I promise you the Lord will help you. I'm not telling you to mess with your diabetes. The Lord understands your medical condition, and there's numerous other things that you can go away from. In other words, you could eat what was not really your favorite food for that meal instead of your favorite food for that meal and still sustain your sugar level. You understand what I'm saying? But the biggest part of us sitting here tonight, it's not going to hurt us to miss a meal. It's not going to hurt us to miss a meal. And start with that one day. You remember what he said, don't you, in Matthew? When you do this. Not if you do this, but when you do this. You remember what he said a while ago in Matthew? If you want faith, the grain of a mustard seed that can move a mountain, this kind. The only way we're going to have this kind, church, the only way we're going to have it, it's not just praying. It's not just praying. It's prayer and fasting. It's prayer and fasting. I know several men that is still alive today that has done a 40-day fast. And they said that it was absolutely transforming in their life. And I want to say this to you. So, preacher, I believe I'm going to do me a 40-day fast. Number one, you better be ready to fight the devil. And number two, you better consult with your doctor. Amen. God gives us a mind for a reason. We got a head to use for more than a hat rack. Are you with me right there? Consult with your doctor. But they've said, I know some ladies that has done 40-day fast, and they talk about how transforming it is. God, hear me right here. And God, I want you to hear it. God didn't put a time limit on your fast. He just said fast. He didn't put a time limit on it. He just said fast. There's a simple fast. Number two, there's a selective fast. By way of introduction, there is a selective fast. Some people, due to health reasons, they're not able to do what is known as a complete fast. I just talked about that with diabetes. They're not able to do that. They have medication that they have to take. And if they take that medication on an empty stomach, then they're going to have stomach problems and they're going to be sick. So we don't want you to have stomach problems and be sick. I understand that there's some that can't do that. So we not only see a simple fast, we see a selective fast. A selective fast, we can read it in Daniel chapter number 1. We can read it in Daniel chapter number 10. Elijah did this on two different occasions in 1 Kings chapter number 19. Matter of fact, the beginning of each year, for the most part, I challenge our church with the Daniel fast for 21 days. And that is a selective fast. Daniel did not put any of the king's meat to his mouth for 21 days. He pretty much just ate vegetables and drunk water for 21 days. You say, I'll die. I promise you, you won't. If I've ever talked to anybody, and I can say this because he's not here, if I've ever talked to anybody that thought they was going to die on the 21-day Daniel fast, it was my daddy. He just knew he was going to die on the 21-day Daniel fast. He called me about 3 days in, and he said, is this about over with? And I read him those verses where it said, don't be of the sad countenance, so people know that you're fasting. You know, I just read that to you. He said, man, I'm telling you, my daddy wants meat at every meal. And at the end of the 21 days, on the 22nd day, he went to that place down there in King. What's that name of that place? Where the Dario. He went to the Dario and got him a loaded foot-long hot dog and French fries and a big old drink. And I called him about 2 hours after that, and he was regretting that because he hadn't eaten none of that in 21 days. But a selective fast is when you take something and you fast from it for a certain amount of time. Now, I want to say this to you. You are to set the time that you're going to do that and then stick by. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to fast from a meal. I don't want to fast from food. We can fast from different things. It would do everybody in here if you have it. Now, somebody's probably not going to give me an amen right here, but give me one anyway. It would do everybody that has social media good to fast from it for a little while. I take it a step further, and I definitely won't get one right here. It'd take anybody that watches the news, it'd be real good for you to fast from that for a little while. I'm telling you, the news has nothing good to say. Take the 30 minutes you watch the news or listen to the news and listen to the Word of God. Or find you a good godly book on Audible and listen to it. Or a good podcast, listen to What's Now or What Now, Conversations for Life, for that 30 minutes. And take that away. So in a selective fast, it can be more than food. But I'll say this to you. Your primary fast should be food. Because what we are doing in fasting, we are saying, Lord, I'm willing to do without what I think my body needs to live to depend on you. And when those hunger pains comes, and they will, as soon as you fast your first meal, if you've never fasted, when you fast your first meal, if it's lunch that day, by 11:15, you're going to think you're absolutely dying. You're not going to make it. And by 12, you're going to think your sugar's about a 2, and you're not going to make it. Let me tell you what it is. It's the devil. And when those hanger, because that's what, I didn't even mean to say that, but that's what happens. You get hanger. And when those hunger pains hit, that's when we go to the Lord. And we say, Lord, my flesh wants this right now. But God, I'm relying on you. And God, you know the need in my life. I'm hesitant to say some of these. There's not hardly ever a time that I'm not fasting from something for something. I don't just fast. If I'm going to fast, Brother Josh, it's for a reason. It's for a specific reason. I'm fasting because of a reason. There's sometimes, Brother Gavin, that I'll say, I'm going to fast 3 days for this right here. There's sometimes that I'll say, I'm going to fast 21 days for this, or 40 days for this, or whatever the may be, the time may be. But then there's sometimes that, Brother Robert, I just say, I'm going to fast till I hear from God on this. I'm just going to fast till I hear from God on it. You know what? Sometimes it's been a day or two. And sometimes it's been a month or two. But we fast until we hear from God. So that selective fast is we take certain things and fast from them. Fast from sugar. Let me back up and add it this way. Fast from added sugar. When you drink your coffee, don't put nothing in it but honey, if you want honey in it. If you got to have something to sweeten it up, put honey. Use natural sugars. Are you with me? I'm just trying to help you. It's going to do two things for you. Number one, it's going to help you to be scriptural because the Bible says for us to do it. And number two, it's going to make you feel better. I encourage everybody to get the book, Fasting Your Way Back to Health. Fasting Your Way Back to Health. Now it's getting real quiet and real tight. There is so many preservatives that is put in to foods today. Let me tell you what, a lot of this anxiety and a lot of this girls at 9 and 10 years old starting to become adults is, it's all the preservatives that's in the food that we're putting into our bodies. And I'm just going to say this in passing. I've said it 2 or 3 times lately because God's really wore me out on it. This is the only body I'll ever have to serve God with. I don't have no other body to serve God. I'm not getting a second chance in my life. And you say, well, man, you're living up then. I am. And you know what? If me and my kids want to go hike 10 miles tomorrow, we can. They don't have to roll me around. Now you can say amen or oh me. I'm being honest with you tonight. This is the body God's given me to serve Him with. And it is the temple of God. Our body is the temple of God. Amen. Our body is the temple of God and we're supposed to take care of it. And learning to fast will help you learn to take care of your body. John R. Ice wrote the book, Fasting Your Way Back to Health. I promise you it's a great book. Now, there's selective fast. But then there's what is known as a supernatural fast. Those are mentioned a few times in the Word of God. And matter of fact, the very first time, Exodus 34:28, the very first time that we ever hear of the principle of fasting, it is dealing with a supernatural fast. Moses done a 40-day fast where he didn't eat nothing and he didn't drink nothing. You say, well, you think it really helped Moses? Man, look at Moses' life. Look what God used Moses to do in his life. It's amazing. And I want to say something to you tonight. I promise you, fasting will change your life. Now, let me show you 2 or 3 things tonight. Number one, I want you to see this. I want you to see the reservation. The reservations of fasting. There are so many reservations. Why does people not fast and pray today? Well, I think the number one reason people don't fast and pray today is because they've never been taught to. Now, I'm not in any way, shape, or form. I am not bragging on my own preaching. By no means, I'm the least of the least when it comes to that. However, I will have to say, teaching and preaching on fasting and praying is not uncommon at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. If we're going to learn to fast and pray, and you say, well, we've heard some of this before. Yeah, but there's some people sitting here that never has. And you know what? Mom and I was talking today, and we was talking about preaching, and here's what she said. She said, you know what? A lot of people can hear it over and over and over again, but they never apply it to their life. It's like they never hear it. It's like they never hear it. A lot of people hear it and hear it and hear it, but they've never fasted the first meal. They've never fasted the first meal. The reservations, the reason some people don't fast is just they've never been taught. Nobody's ever took the Word of God and said, look, Jesus said when you fast. Not if you do it, but when you do it. Nobody's ever took the Word of God and showed them. These disciples were discouraged because they was not experiencing the power of God in their life like they wanted it. And Jesus says, well, this is the way you can have it. You want the power of God resting on you? You want the manifestation glory of God resting on you? You want to see things happen that nobody else is seeing happen? Here's the way that you do it. You fast and you pray. Having the faith of a grain of a mustard seed is not where it's at. It's in fasting and praying. The way you get the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, church, is through prayer and fasting. You'll never have that faith if you don't learn how to fast. You can be the greatest prayer warrior in our church. But if you're not fasting, you're still missing out on being the greatest the greatest praying person you can be. You're missing out on God's best. They've never been taught. Some has reservations because of a medical condition. They have a true medical condition that they cannot fast from food. And here is what I want to say to that. I've already said it. There's foods that you can fast from. There's foods that you can, and there's not only foods, there's other things that you can fast from. Matter of fact, the kids are out tonight. When you study the Word of God talks about that relationship of a husband and wife, and we know that the intimate relationship is to be between a husband and a wife. That is where intimacy is to be, is between a husband and a wife. It's not, sex is not supposed to be outside the realm of marriage. It's in the realm. Somebody give me an amen right there. It's in the realm of marriage. But the Bible does also talk about abstaining from that for a period of, it talks about fasting from that in the Word of God. But it says this, you don't do that without telling your spouse that. And I'm not quoting it verbatimly to you. Go home and study it. There is things that we can fast from. The reservations of it. A lot of people just don't do it because they don't know. The requirements of it. What did the Bible say in Matthew 6? It said, when you pray. When you pray. I really believe that God expects every person sitting here to fast. I believe that in all my heart. To fast. I don't want nobody to raise your hand. I don't want nobody to nod their head. And I don't want nobody to say amen for just a minute, okay? If you're sitting in this room and you never have fasted, then you have no clue the joy of fasting. If you're sitting in this room and you have fasted, you know the joy of fasting. Now, you can start saying amen again now. You know the peace. You know the things that you have saw God do because of fasting and praying. You know what it is. Man, I'm going to tell you, when I fast and I see, not if I see God do things, and I see God do things, because He always does supernatural things. I get real serious and go into a hard fast. He always does. Man, there's nothing like it. It makes, you know, let me tell you what it makes me want to do, Brother Tim. It makes me want to fast even more. It makes me want to push away from things even more. You know, let me tell you the reason why. Because God does things when we fast. God, I believe He requires us. He expects of us to do that. Now watch this. What's the reasons for fasting? What's the reasons for fasting? Well, some people fast because of a physical need. Some people fast because of a spiritual need. And some people fast just because. I'll give you one illustration. I'll give you one illustration of fasting. I'm not going to give you any more, but I'll give you one illustration of fasting. Many remember in 2020, my dad, 2020, in 2020, Dad was in the hospital with COVID. Ended up with COVID pneumonia and was in bad shape. Daddy really gave us a scare. And I was just getting over COVID at the time. My mom had it at the time. Leslie and the girls was just getting over it. Rebecca and her husband, which is my sister, they was all just getting over it. And Daddy got to the hospital, and man, when they decided to keep him, and then we heard that word, COVID pneumonia, man, back then that was, and it's still a big deal today. I don't think it's as big of a deal. But, and I'm not going to take time to go into all of that, but at that time, it was a huge deal. And my sister and I went into a fast together. And I'll say more about a partner in fasting in just a minute, but we went into a fast together, an absolute fast together. And I'll never forget, man, that Monday morning, I had left and was going up on the mountain, and I've got a place way up on the mountain about 35 minutes from here that we hike back into and pray at. A few of y'all's been in there with me before and prayed in there, but we hike back in there at just a big natural rock that's out in the middle of the woods on the side of the mountain and pray. And I'll never forget, I was almost up there and my phone rung, and it was Miss Patty from the hospital that's over ICU. She began to talk to me and told me, Daddy, it started taking a turn for the worse, and his O2 was getting down in the 70s. And she told me, she said, Jonathan, I'm going to be honest with you. If something don't change, we're going to have to move him back over into ICU. And if something don't change, his blood work was starting not to look right. Said, we're probably going to have to put him on a vent. And boy, I heard that, and I thought, he'll die. He'll never come off of it. And boy, I'll never forget, I turned around. I never even made it to my place of prayer. I turned around, and I came back down the road, and I went to the hospital and went in. They actually was allowing us to go in and see him. I went in and seen him and talked to him a minute, and I'll never forget. Standing in that hospital room, there was not a pastor in there with us. He was my pastor, and I was his pastor. And I'm going to say this in passing, pastoring is a lonely life sometimes. There was no pastor in the room with us. There wasn't some preacher in the room with us. It's just me and mom and daddy. I'll never forget, the doctor was in there with us. And my daddy, they talked to daddy and told him, said, if you don't listen to us, they said, you're going to end up, could possibly end up dying from this. I remember whenever they said that, daddy looked at me with tears running down his face. And he said, you better get a hold of God right now. I knelt in that hospital room floor. That doctor knelt with us. I'll never forget it. That doctor knelt with us. My mama dealt, me and my daddy and my mama and that doctor held hands in that hospital room that day. Boy, I began to beg God to touch my daddy. I came back home on Tuesday. Daddy started doing a little bit better. And I'll never forget that Wednesday, I drove to the hospital. And I picked daddy up, and I brought daddy home. Now daddy's not 100%. He'd get mad if he heard me talking about it. He's not. Daddy still loses his breath a lot. He's nowhere close to the shape that he was in 2020. But he's here with us, and he's preaching the gospel, and God's using him, and souls are being saved, and he's still helping us here at our church. And let me tell you the reason I believe all of that come to pass. I believe it's because there's a few kids decided that they was going to fast and pray for their daddy. The reason, sometimes it's a physical need that we fast and pray for. Sometimes it's a spiritual need. Sometimes it's every once in a while you'll feel that God's nowhere around. And you'll pray and it seems that God's nowhere around. You'll read your Bible and it seems that it's nothing more than words on a printed page. Let me tell you how to get in touch with God. This kind. Let me tell you how to get in touch with God when it comes to meal time. Push that plate back away from you. Find yourself alone somewhere. And you go to begging God for His help and for His mercy and for His grace and Him to show up and help you. And I promise you, and you that's been there knows I'm telling the truth, I promise you, God will show up and help you. The reasons for it. The reward of it, I've dealt with all of that in the same thing. The reward of it is you'll see God do things that you've never seen God do before. You'll see God do some things for you. I promise you, some of them you'll not be able to share with people. Sometimes God will do things that, and don't get me wrong right here, but sometimes God will do things that you don't even share with your spouse because you never really even told them about that urgent prayer request that was on your heart that you was praying about. You'll see God do things for you. I'll say this in closing. There is a reward to fasting. Not if you fast, but when you fast. When? You want this kind? You want this kind? You know what he said? He said, the only way you're going to get it is by fasting and praying. I mentioned this in passing. Sometimes it's good to have a fasting partner. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. 99% of the time I don't. But there is sometimes that I do, especially if it's a younger Christian. And they'll come up to me and they'll say, hey, will you do a 2-day fast with me? Will you take this week and will you fast from lunch this week and I'm going to fast from lunch and can we agree together that if the hunger pain gets too bad, we'll call each other and we'll talk to each other and we'll pray with each other over the phone. That's very good, especially with young Christians. That's very good to do. Sometimes me and Brother Todd will do, McKeon, we'll do a fast together. I promise you something tonight, church. Miss Tina, do you care to come start playing softly? I promise you, if you want to see God do something in your life, if the truth was to be known, probably less than 10% of Christians ever truly experience the joy of fasting and praying. We just never practice it. I didn't for years, but I'm going to tell you something, man, when I started, it's been amazing to see. I got a Bible back there that was Buster Seaton's, one of the greatest preachers that ever walked in shoe leather, ever. One of the greatest preachers. Go home and look up his message on the gospel that's preached unto Abraham. It's life-changing. I got one of the Bibles Brother Buster preached out of back there in my office. One of the very few Bibles that's not for sale. I'll never sell that Bible. And in the back of it, he's got his name and three other preachers' names. And they agreed to fast every Wednesday for God to send revival in the meetings they was preaching in. And you that knows Brother Buster or knew him back then, which he died years ago, it was amazing the power of God that rested on his life. But the only way we're going to have it, church, so I want to see my family saved. This kind. See, I want to see God do something absolutely unreal at Amazing Grace. This kind. The only way we're going to have it is by prayer and fasting.